Hey, one of the great sponsors of not this show, of just me and Deepu in general, is Soundbite. Go to the Soundbite app, Soundbyte.
Paper Saga, A1 Edition, Deepu episode, theme song by Freddie Unreal of the Turnbucklers.
Hello, everyone. I'm Deepu, your host this week. We have an exciting show planned for you guys this time, or as always, I mean to say, this is a podcast about hack thought. It's about thoughts we don't think to think about. For instance, will I ever meet a good person named Donahue? When is a sandwich?
Nope.
Yeah, exactly.
Nope. That's
exactly.
No. I mean, that's not an explanation of the show.
I mean, it is to me.
A show where we talk about thoughts you don't think to think about. They're the type of thoughts that you just put away, thinking that one day you'll lose that weight and that thought will fit again, but it hasn't fit in a while, that thought.
So you disagree with the thought, will I ever meet a good person named Donahue?
I refuse to engage with the thought, will I ever meet a good person named Donahue?
Okay, I'm just saying, I've had some bad experiences. Anyway, so let's move on. Other questions. When is a sandwich really a sandwich?
Oh, this is his bit. This is pre-written. Okay. When is a sandwich really a sandwich? Yeah, no, this has been done before. I don't care.
Okay. Let's see. Oh, how about this? Can we talk about... Actually, I just realized we don't say proper nouns on this show.
Go ahead.
JD Power & Associates. I have a lot of questions about these guys.
So do I. What is it?
Yeah. Who are these associates?
I think this shows our age, because you and I watch a lot of commercials, and they would constantly talk about them on car commercials.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what it means.
It's a rating association.
Seemingly, they're out of business because all those cars were shitty. Because I remember hearing about JD Power & Associates all the time during the age in which the car industry in America was crashing and honestly turning out shit.
Yeah, a lot of, you know, cars, you know, the power windows are a premium option. I'm like, come on.
Yeah, the early to mid 2000s is when you would always hear JD Power & Associates.
Well, I mean, I actually did some research and I got into.
Did you actually?
Yeah.
No.
Yes, I did.
How? Where?
Okay, so, you know, I did some research into JD Power & Associates. Took a lot of, you know, digging around, interviewing people, and, you know, this stuff was not easy to find because they were pretty secretive about their organization.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. They don't want people to know.
What is the power?
Exactly. Well, no, the power is just the original creator's last name. It was founded by a man named Jebediah Power, JD Power.
Mm-hmm. That's his name. He founded... Go-Go Power Associates. Mighty Morphing Power Associates.
Those were all good test names, and they threw them all out because they settled on JD Power. And then, you know, who are these associates, right? And
the Power Associates, yeah.
Yeah, the associates are... Another name for them is the Four Horsemen of Economics.
Mm-hmm.
And I will list them off.
You had to learn what economics was first, right?
yes, another deep investigation, you know, quick wiki article. Reading and whatever, but I'll just do a quick explanation of the four.
So horsemen. You met the four horsemen of the economics?
No, I looked them up. I found them. I heard about them.
These secret organizations are really Googleable.
The first one, Panther Robinson.
Panther Robinson.
He has a sleek.
You're
eye
sure
for
this
justice.
Isn't the Mighty Morphin Power Associates?
It sounds like it, and they can
it sounds
be
like
very,
the Mighty Morphin Power Associates.
They can be very well, yeah. Panther, I can see why you say that, but no, his name's just Panther.
Okay.
Second guy, Dostoevsky LeBron. She's riding dirty.
Is this
dirty.
Just you making funny names?
No, is this there... is true. This is all I looked it up.
Okay.
Second person, Dostoevsky.
But are you expecting me to react to these names?
Just go or okay. Do the whole cashier thing that you like to do.
Yes, please. Next.
Dostoevsky LeBron. She's riding dirty all the way to the bank. Next person.
What is this bit?
It's just me. It's me describing JD Power & Associates. Okay.
But these this naming convention thing is dull. They're
the
to
horsemen
me.
Of economics. Okay. They have very
get
bizarre.
Get to the names. Next bit. Go through them quick. Like,
okay, next person.
Real quick.
Ancho Chili Joseph.
Great.
He was a line cook.
Ancho Chili Joseph.
His personality is undeniably smoky.
Oh, Jesus. It's like a video game. I can't scroll through all the characters. This one's Bulbasaur. It has a green thing on its back. Shut the fuck up and give me Pikachu. This is so... Okay, what's the next one? Please, quicker.
Okay, the last one is...
They're falling flat for me, and I'm just bored.
I'm sorry. No, the audience loves it, though. It's fine. The last guy, or person, is Agent 72. That's what he goes by.
We don't even know his or her name.
Yeah, he or she has a mysterious past.
These hilarious names brought to you by Let's Start a Cult Podcast. Can we get to the jokes?
Do you want to know how they met?
Yes, get to some content.
Not long after the revolution.
Go to the funniest, this should go without saying. Go to the funniest part of what you have to say.
This is all gold.
No, it isn't.
It can be. It's maybe 24 characters.
No, these names are not funny. I think you think I'm going to laugh at these names.
Ancho Chili Joseph was not funny to you.
No, you wrote it.
I don't know what, I mean, I guess we just disagree artistically. I don't know what to tell you, man. Let's just get into the origin story, okay?
Please, I was hoping there was some sort of commentary here.
Yeah. Well, it's not commentary, it's more about just telling a story here. Not long after the revolution in Bogota, a boy named Dimitri Rosetta emerged from the wreckage.
Dimitri Rosetta seems like you didn't write anything for that name.
Wait, what are you talking
about?
That's
just a name.
I did some writing there. It's like a Russian guy's name and like the random word Rosetta, which I took from Rosetta Stone.
Oh my, what a reference. What's the Rosetta Stone?
I just know the program. I know it's an ancient thing that like open keys or something.
Keep going. Now yep. I'm having fun.
Okay. Oh, I forgot. The key thing you like is for me dropping references that I don't know. You ask me what it is. I say I don't know.
One of the classic things of hack thought is people saying, making references and hoping nobody ever asks them if they understand them.
Mm. Always hoping.
And always knowing hoping. Deep who doesn't.
So, I don't know if you knew this, but back in...
The Rosetta Stone is an ancient CD-ROM. You're right.
That taught people basic Spanish. Basic Yay. Japanese.
I am King Homophorus. I bring to you this CD-ROM of the Rosetta Stone and Microsoft Encarta. I bring it to you, Egypt.
This came with Coral Word Perfect. No, okay, so hold on. You tell me, what is the Rosetta Stone actually?
The Rosetta Stone.
Is it an ancient stone?
It was discovered, and it's what sort of allowed us to translate languages. There are four languages on it. I believe one is Aramaic, and I believe one is Hebrew. And it's the same passage written. I don't know the other ones, but it's the same passage written four times. I think people kind of assume there are other, that there might have been more because we found it broken. Mm-hmm. I don't know too much about it, but I know that it is the template at which we've been able to translate, I think, even hieroglyphics. It goes that far back because wow. It's just the same word written. I don't know what it says, but it's like how the equivalent in modern day would be like, you know how in Toronto or Quebec, they have to write like, this is the bathroom, c'est la toilette. Like, that's what it is. It's the same phrase written over and over again in different languages.
Gotcha. What a bore. Anyway, so yes. In Bogota.
That boring thing of being being able to understand languages throughout all of time immemorial. Yes. Unlocking the history of the past.
What I'm more interested in is...
Opposed to the history of the future.
Well, I am a fan of history, and what I learned was... I like how that was just enough to set you off. You are not having any of this. Wait. I am a fan. I don't know all the terms or like the details, but like I'm a fan. I'm a fan, man. Anyway,
in what way? If someone has history on at a party, you'll watch it, but you don't necessarily play fantasy history. What the fuck are you talking about?
I just like, you know, I like seeing things in sepia tone.
Hate you.
All right. Okay. So anyway, in 1981,
Bobo. Oh my God! This bit.
Well, yeah. Don't you want to know how J.D. Power and Associates came to be?
Why don't we improv this a little bit so it feels a little bit fresher? This feels like you're reading a Mad Lib I don't care about. Hey, let me spice this bit up a little so you can make some Okay, by the way, Whisper Deepu, what is your commentary about J.D. Power and Associates?
By the way, you do not get to change the bit. Go fuck yourself.
I'm not changing it.
No, you are.
I'm
not changing. I gotta make it improv so it's more palatable.
Well, I'm trying to make it a format where I'm not just sitting here listening. What
some
is
tasty on medicine, sir?
It's not a tasty. I always give you time to engage. What is the? Can you just tell me what the underlying commentary is going to be, or is this just a Mad Lib? Is it just a funny story? It just happens to have the word J.D. Power and Associates in it.
No, it's a tale of love and loss and realization.
Yes, is the answer. It is just a tale. There's no. I wanted you have to tell because I thought maybe you'd make some commentary, for example, on awards. You know, that's sort of a hack thought thing. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't really think whether, why is an award important to my car?
You know,
do
I'll
I know
you...
about other car awards? Like, I thought maybe that was your commentary. You know, trusting an organization I've literally never heard of before. Like, these are things that I thought maybe would be the commentary. So is there an overarching commentary so I can know how to not necessarily change your bit, but know what the fuck is going on?
Well, I guess the crux of it was always based around this skepticism I felt about J.D. Power and Associates. Why are we listening to them?
Okay,
are they?
So now I can participate. Okay, now in 1981.
Yes.
Name one other, as a fan of history, mm-hmm. name any of, who was the president in 1981?
Gerald Ford. What?
So go. I mean, you've set yourself up for a weird scenario. Okay, so 1981,
the city of Bogota. Is it a city or a nation? I forget.
It's generally pronounced Bogota.
Bogota. I remember a Spanish teacher. She really
Bogota.
Put the A on there. She really put like a capital.
Well, you're
a.
saying it Bogota as if it's a sale on Taz. That is a BOGO sale at Macy's. Buy one get one on Taz.
Jesus. Okay.
Bogota.
It's hard to explain, but the nation was covered.
Bogota? No, it's pretty easy.
No.
So go on. The nation. So at the time, we wouldn't know this because we weren't around. So yeah.
Yeah.
And you've got some historical insight for us on Bogota.
Yeah.
Where's Bogota, Deepu?
South America.
Oh, really? That's its address? Bogota, South America. Okay. So in Bogota, guys, just put into your GPS, South America. You'll hit Bogota eventually.
No,
keep
it's
going,
the capital
Deepu.
Of Colombia, actually. I do know that. I do know that.
Keep going.
Okay. So in 1981, Bogota was actually, it was littered with, see, they built a lot of boats there, and all of them tipped over.
How it's got its name, Bogota.
Boko tip is what it translates to. So all the, you know, the ships.
The boat of Ta.
Right. Thankfully, no one was hurt because I know you hate when people get hurt. But all the ships, they had no personnel
that
on them.
Depends on who.
Okay, well, in this case, nobody. Nobody got hurt. They were all just filled with candy.
Which means none of my enemies have been vanquished.
I think there's no enemies of yours on these boats. They love to not walk.
Okay, so it was filled with candy.
Yes.
Oh, this is like, is it a bedtime story we're doing here, Deepu?
Little bit. We're working our way to the horsemen. We're working our way. Can we just talk about Dimitri Rosetta basically came up with the first review system, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He was, you know, he was wondering, like, he was going through the markets, you know, why are all these things being labeled as the best? He wasn't having it.
What was he upset about? What were some of the things he was upset about being labeled the best at the market?
He was really upset. You know, this one guy was yelling out loud, "Come get the best pineapple. I got the best
Is there one best pineapple?
I mean, this one salesman was saying he's got the best.
But I'm saying, is it pineapples plural or pineapple plural or one pineapple? This is the best one.
He was saying both, actually. He has a lot of great pineapples, and then he has one best pineapple. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Dimitri was not having, he was not having about
a pineapple hierarchy, and this annoyed Dimitri.
And basically, he took it upon himself to test out all these different products, and he tested out the pineapple. You know,
yeah, like, what's the miles per gallon on this pineapple?
Yeah, I mean, you got to figure all these things out.
Zero, which is what I want.
Okay, so he kind of became the go-to guy, basically, long story short. He became the go-to guy for asking if anything's good or not. Farmers.
Would 0 miles per gallon be infinite?
I
wouldn't
mean,
that imply that the car does go?
I think zero is a pretty clear measurement, and I feel like you're not going anywhere with no gas, without gas.
Right, so there is a one there. It would be per gallon. So, but per gallon, it goes 0 miles per hour. Okay. Which means it can't run off of 1 gallon of gas? Oh my gosh, are there vehicles with like point, with like, they have to change the per 3 gallons? Like it's, ooh, that's weird. I never thought about it as a fraction. Is any of this making sense to you?
Yeah, no, I follow. I just don't
know. The idea that a car, that a vehicle might not run unless it uses 2 gallons in order to go, how do you express it? Ooh, weird.
You can say it's like 0.002 miles per gallon, couldn't you? If it's less than a mile, less than zero, or more than zero.
Right, but I was thinking of it in the other way, that like you would do it, like you don't have to do, I guess MPG is now a one unit, but like wouldn't it be easier to say like gallons and then per however many gallons, like the miles per, what, 1 mile per such and such gallons, you'd have to do it.
Well, anyway, long story short, Dimitri kind of built up this whole company. He hired Jebediah Power, and he kind of thought, oh, your name is way better for the company, so we'll use your name. And then that's how J.D. Power and Associates came to be.
And then a native Spanish speaker, finds your name, Power, to be a better name to me.
As an American Rating Association. I think he had a great sense of marketing. He had a feeling that, you know, Dimitri Rosetta was not going to be a good name for the award.
He travels to America,
and
he says, "Let's start rating things." And he gets there, and he's just doing it with everything. He's crazy with J.D. Power. He's mad with J.D. Power. Yeah. He's going around, and he sees at a candy store, and he goes, "Oh, Henry's the worst. The Snickers is the best." And he's just running around doing it with everything. Brisk is the best iced tea. Brisk is also the worst iced tea.
And times were good, times were great, Mike. But then a little corruption started setting in.
Uh oh, what happened?
Some competing spinach companies were coming to him like, hey, I'll pay you this, and you give the other guy a shitty rating.
Oh my God.
Can you do something
like that? The spinach corporate spy life in this country it's deplorable. You hear stories all the time about spinach companies just ruthless stuff. I mean, buying like prostitutes for spinach CEOs and shorting spinach stocks.
So, and the problem Dimitri had
Popeye joke.
So, no Popeye joke. I refuse. Dimitri kind of had a problem. Like he couldn't tell the difference between like some of these products. He couldn't really rate one of the over the other.
He lost his JD power. Is that what you're saying?
One could say that is one.
Something
way of
was sapping his JD power.
So he brought in these horsemen that I mentioned before, these four horsemen of economics.
And actual horses.
They did ride horses. It was very intimidating to the people that they were sent to. But these horsemen would actually, cause problems in, the spinach farms, or if, competing car companies, had it out, J.D. Power would send a horseman and they would cause, they would cut the brake lines on cars.
So this was retribution for their sinning. Was J.D. Power would send his, Dimitri Rosetta. Do you see, you owe me like a big Christmas present this year. So I'm going along this bit for a while. Dimitri Rosetta would say to J.D. Power, he would say, J.D., send forth the horsemen of
Panther?
Let's send forth Ancho.
Yeah.
And Ancho shall tell him that this company who dares to bribe me Dance to Black, me.
Yeah, shit in their spinach. See how they feel.
Dimitri Rosetta, go and have him trample and do a whole like little dance, one of those horse dances on top of their spinach and see how they like it.
Exactly.
Because they tried to corrupt his rating system.
Yeah, that's right. And these horsemen have been responsible for every E. coli outbreak, every car recall.
Is this a pitch for E. coli, really spicing up the comedy podcast.
Found in chili? It's them.
That was a fake one. Finger in hummus is real. Finger in chili was fake.
Finger in hummus.
That's true. Look it up.
Typo. Whoops. Missed that. Hummus. Yes. Hummus.
Hummus. Finger in hummus is real. Is this a pitch for a children's book? Is this the new Harry Potter?
I mean,
where
do you
the
think
jokes?
It has potential?
I'm serious. Where did the jokes come?
I skipped a bunch. Honestly, you kind of pushed me, and I skipped a bunch.
Is this? Where does it end?
We don't think to think about.
Obviously. Deepu, obviously it's not. What's the commentary?
We got it. We took care of it, man.
Okay, let's keep going with the story. Oh, no. You're finishing your story. Let's be clear here. Just because I, Princess Bride-like, need you to stop telling the story while I'm sick in bed does not mean that you are not fucking finishing. Like, this is that moment in The Princess Bride where Peter Falk goes, well, if you want me to leave, I'll go home. It's like, no, fuck you. You are finishing. Hey, do you love delicious things? No, I'm thinking about it. You probably don't like delicious things. No, why did I ask? You probably don't like delicious things. It doesn't matter. Well, I don't want to bring it up. Oh, you do like delicious things, you say. You're screaming into your phone. Well, look up Eat Cheenies. That's C-I-N-I. Eat Cheenies. They're on Facebook. They're on Instagram. Eat Cheenies. And if you direct message them, you want these things. Demand them in your town or city. Eat Cheenies. They're these little orange cheenie balls. They're filled with rice and cheese. They know about it. You can get all the flavors there. They do crazy stuff. Go to Eat Cheenies. Eat. You know how to spell eat. Come on, don't mess with me. C-I-N-I. It's on Instagram. It's on Facebook. And let them know that you want delicious things, especially if you're in Boston. They can get it to you real quick. Okay? Okay, so he's sending out his horsemen.
Yeah. To cause economic, disruptions in certain
companies.
Just
so you know, I like dried fruits and cheeses. So that's like a good Christmas thing if you're thinking of making this up to me. That's like a big, I like that. You can get that like delivered locally.
Do you feel like I should have sent you a Christmas present last year or the year before?
No. This has pushed you into obligatory Christmas present territory now.
I would love to just send you a box of like standard chocolate and just get this over with.
Yeah, you should. you probably should do that.
Ask me what's next. Ask me what's next.
No. I'm catching everyone up. Previously on JD Power, Go-Go Power Associates. The Power Associates were locked up in a cave. If we don't get the crystal down to Dimitri Rosetta, then everyone will turn to dog shit. I see you, Power Associates. Go, my horsemen. Okay, so he's sending the horsemen to just destroy shit. So how do the cars come into this?
Well, I don't want to say car companies, specifically, but, car companies would go to Dimitri and say, hey, give us the award. And he would say, fuck off. And he would send a horseman to their factories.
A horseman. And they would say, no, we've conquered. This is JD's greatest. So now Dimitri Rosetta is a figurehead at this point. He's lost all of his JD power. And so he's using Go-Go Power Associates to, he's King Lear. Dimitri Rosetta is in a castle. He has no power anymore. Legend is only told whether he's alive or not. And so JD Power, who kind of runs it, is sending his power associates on their horsemen to go and deal out retribution. Now, so far it's gone great, right? That's what you're saying? So far,
yeah, he's toppling companies and driving up the stock of other companies. Those other companies, they love him. They put the award.
The power associates are feared throughout the land. Because if you mess with them, they send a horse. But cars famously outdid the horses. They eliminated the need for horses. So what you're saying now is that the power associates are up against their greatest enemy, which is the enemy of horses throughout all time. It's an ancient enemy to the horse, mm-hmm. almost as old as the Rosetta CD-ROM, is the
automobile.
The car, the yeah. automobile, the auto horse. And they're saying, oh, you think you have power? We have horsepower. And so it's a battle of horse. It's a battle of horsepower is what you're saying.
Yes. I mean, this battle between J.D. Power and Associates and the auto industry is, you know, one of many battles that they fought. But yes, this
And is this before the Red Power Associate joined them? Or after the Red and the White, and Green yeah. Power Associates?
Yeah, yeah. Green came in a little bit or
a little bit later than White, I think. Right?
Yeah. I'm trying to remember his name. It's coming.
Was that the Power Associates where they race cars?
Do they race them? I don't know.
It's a real one. That is a real one. This is an epic showdown. Finally. And so what? I assume they then go back to, you know, the Power Associates come back scared, right? They run. They turn tail.
They tried to go.
They have one horsepower.
Yeah. They have very little horsepower to work with.
Some of those cars have at least 4 or 5 horsepower.
Well, it's not a race, Mike. I think you're getting off track here, and I love your enthusiasm.
It doesn't
matter.
It's not about a race. It's about powers of horses. Competing horse powers.
Yeah.
I think you're thinking about it too unhistorically. Like, the historical thing that happened was this was a competition between the powers of horses, like literal horse powers. Tramping. Trampling. Yeah. Leaping. Chewing. The neighing. These are the standard horse powers.
Flicking their
tail. So then what are they flicking their tail? Not flicking their tail. So then what do they do? By the way, everyone Google horse tail with no hair on it. So then what do they, where do they, they obviously, I assume, run back to J.D. Power. And what does he say? Ancho is there, covered in tire marks. Panther oil from the legs down.
Mm-hmm.
Goku
they just got their asses handed
soaked
to him.
In carpet.
Yeah, he come. You know, they all come back crying to J.D. Power or to Dimitri and J.D.
So they go to Dimitri, the ancient wise king.
Yes,
they haven't seen Dimitri mm-hmm. Rosetta in a CD-ROM's age. And so they go to him. Is he
they have to awaken
him still?
They have to,
what does he look like? What's the scene when they come in there? I mean, they haven't seen Dimitri in ages. I don't even – have the Power Associates even met Dimitri?
No, this is their first time. And they actually have to kind of open his chamber. They have to access
this
chamber.
This tomb, this big tomb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which he's still alive in. He just has like a – he has.
What's it like going in? Talk me going – they crack open these big stone doors,
mm-hmm.
Ancho – bleeding and covered yeah. in dice from little mirror dice, and he's pushes open this door. The light peels in. What do the Power Associates see?
They see a blinding light at first. A blinding light.
Which is, they're you think, the awe. Other way.
They look
of,
they,
of Dimitri Rosetta.
And then the light kind of dims down a little bit. And then okay. Dimitri pops
they,
up.
Because they used the Dimitri
flare.
J.D. Power, the J.D. Power dimmer.
So the light dims, and then Dimitri wakes up.
And then kind of goes back up, and someone clicks it in by accident, and they go, oh shit, and they click it back out.
Who awakens me from my slumber?
Oh my gosh.
Dimitri says.
He doesn't even recognize them anymore.
Who are these horsemen? I thought we
they
were
they brought
past
the horses
this.
In?
What?
They brought the horses in?
They're wearing
you, just, you don't just look at someone and go, oh, that's a horseman.
No, they're wearing
that
like a horse riding outfit.
Not a horse. Right, so he's a, who are these people dressed as horsemen? You're not just go, oh, that's a horseman over there. Honey.
Okay, that's
look
a good
at
point.
The, take these binoculars. See that horseman over there? You don't get in a line and someone goes, sir. Horseman, the horseman line is that one.
That's a great point. Holy shit, man. You're like this guy. You just see everything. You see everything.
I'm a lot like Dimitri Rosetta. I wield a huge amount of J.D. power, and I can see right through everything.
Well, no, I forgot to mention that these uniforms.
Oh, there's uniforms.
Yeah, well, the horsemen were wearing uniforms.
So what are they? They're yeah, so
the saddles are built in. Ancho's
the red one.
Yeah, Ancho's in the red one. Panther Robinson's in blue.
The black one.
Oh, you. Oh, yeah, the blue and black. I mean, kind of a combination. Dostoevsky, yellow, obviously. Agent 72, olive, obviously.
It's green. Green.
Olive. It's more of a dark green, but.
Still a version of green.
Their uniforms actually had saddles built in to the pants.
So they walk like John Wayne impressions. They have this like floppy walk. So they come in like ding 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 ding. Yeah, they waddle. They kind of waddle.
It's a very wide stance. Very balanced.
And so he says he wakes. There's this bright light. It fades. Who are these horsemen before me?
And they all do introductions.
We were past this. Name yourselves horsemen.
And they all introduce themselves. I'm not going to say the name.
I'm Ancho, the strongest of the power associates. I'm Dostoevsky. My might is in my brain.
I'm Agent 72, and I'm a sexy fuck pile.
And I'm Panther. I have another personality trait.
Yeah, so they get over the introductions, and they kind of awaken him, and they say, like, hey, Dimitri.
He's already awakened. So he does this very powerful opening, and they go, like, wake up. Wake up. Wake up.
They kind of give him a nudge, like, come on.
I fell asleep.
Dimitri, we have a problem.
Do the introductions again. I forgot.
I'm Ancho. I'm the strong one.
And I also have a personality trait.
Anyway, so anyway, after all that, Ancho steps forward and says, hey, Dimitri, we have a problem. We just tried kicking ass over at the auto industry, and they just...
Do not speak the name of my greatest enemy.
But we have to explain the problem. I'm sorry.
No, well then say the cars that shall not be named.
Okay, the cars that shall not be named just handed our asses to us when we were sent over there.
Did you lose your ass?
No, my ass is parked outside, actually.
Well, I'm trying to figure out the metaphor. Is it that you had an ass, and they said, oh, before you go, remember your ass. And they handed it to you.
Dimitri, I'm very sorry for using modern colloquialisms. I will start over.
Do not speak of the modern age. I remember a time when we would only rate pineapples. Oh, those were the days.
Those were the days. Which farmers would run up to me and ask, is this milk the best? Is this
what
not the best
mean
milk?
Now, do not tamper with the car men. Stay away from them. They are too powerful for you.
And that's the story of J.D. Paradis.
We must travel to another planet where there are no cars. Quick! You power associates, join your hands and form the ship of Guy Fearion. It will arise, you, JD Power. Use your ring of toilet bowl Drano to activate the ship, and we shall go to planet four more.
Where
there exists no cars.
Horsemen.
My God.
Yep. So that's the story of J.D. Power and Associates. I thought...
To be continued? That's how it ends?
No, they just go to the next planet and they're fine.
Traveling around the galaxy where we're outrunning these cars. Meanwhile, they shunk past and then you see right behind them like... like a Chevy just shrunk through space after them. Will the power associates ever escape cars?
They're intimidated by car travel, but they've somehow mastered space travel.
They mastered space travel, obviously.
So anyway, they go through the galaxy and they just start rating planets on a scale of 1 to 10. And just
you, Jupiter, you are a 6. I see you, Saturn, 4. Neptune 9.
And once they leave our galaxy, it's a lot of quiet time. A lot of waiting time.
Alpha Centauri. I think that's a star. I don't know. Star. Either way, they give it a 3.
But then they come across a planet and they all, oh my they gosh. Can't agree on the rating. Ancho loves it. Panther hates it.
Hmm.
So they have a they do they all kill themselves in the spaceship.
Why my power associates? Why to leave me this way alone? And I shall raise a new generation of power associates to destroy cars. Come, JD, we shall go to Earth and once again raise the four horsemen of the power associates.
And that's the story of the first era.
Anyway, JD Power and Associates was a company that used to rate cars and give awards to them in the 90s.
And it's probably for the best, you know, that they probably it's probably for the best that they left the planet because, you know, we didn't really need them once we had like online.
I think they still do it. I just remember they would say it a lot in commercials in the late 90s and 2000s. They would say it a lot. Like all the time, people would have some. I guess JD Power would give out. I actually got to see a JD Power award once.
Yeah, I've seen them too. True story. They show them on the commercials.
No. In person.
You met JD?
No. This is absolutely true. I forget why. I'm not sure whether. Like, I think I freaked out. Me and my brother, because we were young, we would have freaked out to see a J.D. Power Associate Award. That would have blown our little TV minds. So I believe that like sort of like when I'm trying to think of other examples, like sometimes companies will win an award and they'll make like duplicates to give to all their chains.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that this chain had somehow won a JD, like something about someone that worked there had earned them a JD Power, one of the JD Power and Associate. Like, I think they give out lots of these. Like, you can do it with awards. Like, you can buy as many as you want. You like pay, essentially when you win an award, you pay for a trophy most of the times if it's these corporate awards. And so you can buy as many as you want. You can't buy like, you win best Kia, even though you have a different car. Like you can't. I mean, you can buy copies of the trophy. That's like pretty standard for winning these corporate awards. And so I think they had one for whatever reason. I saw it.
Now, wasn't my story better than your story?
Well, I don't know that one was better than the other. I mean, I certainly love the actors in yours. But I was just saying, it's a weird. I think it's a great group thing to think about awards. I think this is the best award show ever done.
I agree.
Yeah.
We totally changed the game.
People go crazy. What do you to end it? What do you think about awards? I mean, people go crazy over these things that don't really mean anything.
Listen, you gotta have some sort of verification system. And some people get to have that kind of credit. Some people aren't gonna be the kinds of people that get those kinds of awards. And that's fine too.
Well, but do you have to have that? Like, do you? That's the group. That's the group thing here. It's not you have to have something. Do you?
I'm gonna
do
say
you
no.
have to have that?
No, not in this day and age.
It's not an answer. It's not an answer one way or the other. It's just more. I think that's the group thing. There is like, well, you have to have awards, but like famously, people turn down knighthoods because they don't believe in this kind of shit. You know. There's like a list of people that have turned away a knighthood. There's lists of people that don't attend the Oscars, which I don't want to talk about our industry and things like that.
Child labor or whatever, yeah.
No, see, you're going the other way. The people that I'm talking about don't go to the Oscars because simply they don't validate the Oscars. They don't compete in it. There's certain film companies that don't enter into the Oscars. Like you have to enter into most of these awards. A lot of them are democratic and you have to kind of campaign to win all awards, not just the Oscars. But, you know, there's people that simply famously don't engage in that because they don't believe in it. Not about some political statement, which isn't.
Do you believe in awards? Do you have an award you believe in? Have
you
ever gotten an award?
There's not a lot. There's not. I've gotten some. There's not a lot of awards I would consider really worthy, to be honest. I don't judge my stuff by awards.
Yeah, I mean,
measure accomplishments, but sure. I don't think I would really consider something an accomplishment or not if I won an award.
I'm pretty jaded about awards, actually. Like, I see every award as a group of people that just kind of like somebody and they just want to help the person out.
Well, there's that element to it. The idea that you said two things there. There's the element that it's a marketing scheme. You know, we've seen that with Twitter verification. They want to deny that this was anything other than a way to, you know, they've now stopped the Twitter verification program, but they want to deny that it was anything other than helping people who had corporate interests and things like that. Like, you know, one of the things that people don't really know about Twitter verification is, like, there's a lot of coders, like people that develop software that are not incredibly famous, that are verified and things like that. And people that work at low-level employees that work at famous companies get verified a lot of times. It was a way to do business stuff. Now that they're a news, claimingly a news organization, they say this verification isn't an award or anything. It's an objective marker, but of course it isn't. You know. So there's that element of people kind of backhandedly helping each other. Mm-hmm. But the other thing you said was a group of people that like someone. Do you genuinely think that it's a lot? It's a popularity contest. A lot of awards.
In the ones I've seen, yes. Yeah, I don't really, I'm not involved in the Oscars, but like in these small realms I've been involved in, yeah, it's a fucking, yeah, just help our fucking, you know, we like this guy, let's give him some piece of metal.
You think that awards are rarely objective?
Yes, rarely.
Yeah, yeah.
Why would they be objective? I don't know what... No one's a truth seeker, everyone's just fucking trying to climb.
Well, a lot of times awards are given out for subjective things as well. There's very few, you know, some awards. I have won some sports competitions.
Yes, sports, I believe.
I would consider those trophies. Okay. I would not consider it. I would still find the accomplishment great if they didn't give me anything. I would consider that simply win. Just that the fact that I won is it was important to me, not the trinket, which I think an award in itself is only a trinket, is what I'm trying to say.
Hmm.
I think the word award kind of implies that the whole idea of it, even if you win, when you give someone an award, it's just a trinket.
And people really do value these trinkets, huh? Like, you know, they'll just be so happy even to the get
metaphor,
a plaque.
I want to clarify, even the metaphorical trinket, not just the thing itself. Like, metaphorically, an award is always a trinket.
All right, you like the word trinket. I got it.
Jeez. No, but I mean it's not necessarily, even if you never get an actual thing, the idea of an award is always an extraneous prize.
Mm-hmm. What's your favorite award that you have?
That I have? I don't have a favorite. That's ridiculous. But do I have I was going to think if I have a favorite award to look at. Like not of my own, just in general, if I have a favorite.
Interesting.
Like of the famous awards. I don't think I do. I don't always think they're like very interesting either. You know? I think, you know what? No, but that's not really an award. I don't know. I can think of a lot of sports ones that are very pretty.
Yeah, I can only think of sports ones. And those, you said those.
And they're very pretty. All the actual awards, I don't really find very appealing.
They're tinier than you think. Much tinier.
It's just they're just not even, you know, like a,
I like the
trinket.
Emmy. I like the Emmy. I like an Emmy.
Really?
Yeah. Looks like
the angel thing. The little angel holding stuff up. It doesn't do anything for me. It kind of looks like a shitty thing you get in Dungeons and Dragons. It's like it's one of those shitty things. All those awards, that's what they look like to me. Like in Dungeons and Dragons, there's always like loot, and it's always like. Like, that's what all those awards look to me. Every once in a while, you're reading Dungeons and Dragons, and a small statue with jade eyes. It's like, okay, so I'm going to put this statue in my fucking bag and then go around and keep adventuring until I find a store to trade this into. It's so it annoys me on many levels.
All right, well, that's good.
Is there any award that you... one more. Is there any award that you would want to win, that you would consider, like, for your life, like, that you would want to win?
J.D. Power and Associates.
So you want to design a car good enough to win a J.D. Power and Associate Award?
Yeah.
No, I'm asking truthfully. Get a JD. Good joke. Good joke. Joke accepted. Now I'm asking truthfully. What would you, is there any award? You don't have to list one. Is there any
Mark
award
Twain
that
award.
You would?
Mark Twain Award. Oh my God.
The Mark Twain is one too, because George Carlin famously said it was the only award he wanted. Right? That's how I know it.
I didn't know that, but it's a great award that some shitty people have gotten, but...
He won it the year he died. He was supposed to win it, and he died the year that he was going to get it, and he had expressed to his daughter and to a lot of people that it was an award. He liked Mark Twain. Mm. It was an award he wanted. That's really the only reason I would want it, is because George Carlin valued it.
I just know that they give it to like iconic American comedic people. So.
It's sort of a comedy award. Stephen Colbert has won it. Yeah.
Eddie Murphy just got it. Yep. So that's my answer. I'm about to tell you.
Yeah, I wouldn't give a shit. Maybe, if only to think of myself like George Carlin, but I would not give a shit. There's a thing called a genius grant that people give out. I've wanted that for a while.
You've heard
that kind
my
of
book.
Validation. Yeah, I really want it. I really, really want it.
Be a good Christmas present.
No, you are getting me a fucking Christmas present for
I
today.
I am. I'll get you a fucking trophy, dude. I swear to God. The Dealing with Deepu Award?
Yes! Oh my God, because I know what I'm getting you for Christmas. I've already told you. I'm getting you fake glasses.
All right, cool.
Yeah, I'm sending you costume glasses so you can wear like a lot of different ones.
Ooh, all right.
Yeah. All right. Number four, we should eliminate urinals.
I agree. They're kind of just nasty. And more often than not, you hear about people missing than actually making it into the urinal. So why don't we just have stalls? Or better yet, let's just have gender-neutral bathrooms and do away with this whole concept of separation in the bathroom. I'm pretty sure we're all adults and we can handle going pee-pee without hurting each other.
You hit on exactly why in the episode we talked about it, that's exactly, I brought it up because of gender equality. That's amazing that you hit on that with no prompting. I also am the Civil War Gatling gun of using a urinal or any, I miss almost entirely. There is no way to hit the target.
Hey, everyone in the world has a brain. So I've been told by scientists. And one of the supporters of this show is IAM1in4.com, who, as a website alone, is great, but as a message is also really important to this show. Look, go see a doctor about your brain. IAM1in4 says that 1 in 4 people in this world will have some run-in with mental health problems, which, by the way, you realize how crazy it is that we have to have a website like 1 in 4, right? That there needs to be a site out there that tells you you have an organ that might get sick. You have an organ called a brain in your head, and sometimes it might get sick because it does this thing called thoughts, and that thought function might get sick. So take care of your mental health, and you know what? Keep taking care of it. You can always keep and don't do any voodoo kind of mental health thing. Don't go, well, I don't know. I've disparaged voodoo, and I don't know whether there are some voodoo certified psychologists. Sorry, I don't want to speak out of turn. If voodoo is somehow involved in psychology or psychoanalysis, I am sorry. But don't do any hackery or self-help. All that stuff's good, but get yourself real help. Go and take care of your brain. IAM1in4.com gives you all the support that you will need in doing those kind of things. Stories about people that have been through this before. You can share your own stories. They actually sell a book. I've written an article on there talking about my OCD. So please go check it out and take care of your brain. And don't worry. They don't keep the brains for that long when you go see a therapist. They just for like a day. You don't need your brain all day. They take your brain out. No, they don't even do that, you crazy people. It's just talking. Take care of your brain.